Filmcore. Hey guys, welcome to another Filmcore movie review. This time we're jumping on to Ari Aster's new horror film titled Midsommar. It shows you what happened in the land of IKEA, where a magical May festival is happening. This movie features a sort of a woman who's gone through a huge family tragedy, who sort of was looking for sort of a fantasy escape to a beautiful Midsommar festival. That does not end the way she thought it would.
I think she's still okay with it, though.
Yeah. And as a note, this Ari wrote this movie to sort of get over his own breakup. So knowing that added a lot of context.
It did indeed.
So we open with Danny and Christian, who are in sort of a trepidatious.
Yeah. They're in a shitty relationship. Am I allowed to say that? Yes. It's a shitty relationship.
One foot in, one foot out.
Yeah. It's
And it's very clear from the beginning that Christian, through his meeting with his friends, has been looking for a way out of this relationship for quite a while now.
Yeah.
A side note, did not appreciate the whole dude bro dynamic. I mean, come on.
We'll get into this.
We'll move past that.
For now.
But essentially,
they want him to break up with her, and they're like definitely encouraging him, and he's like, and they're, because they all want to go to this festival.
Well, that, and I feel like they constantly feel like Danny is sort of a kind of girlfriend who's super emotionally needy.
Yes.
Especially when it comes to her sister, who we learn is bipolar, and it was very fair for her to be concerned given what happens when her sister commits
a murder suicide.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, in a really effed up way, by like siphoning car exhaust in her parents' room and like taping it to her face.
I mean, it's like, Ari is definitely known for doing sort of like really dark deaths, especially with, you know, any of you have seen Hereditary, you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I don't delve into, I'm sure it has been done. It seems like a little bit too theatrical to be reasonable, but when we see how dramatic
it's pretty me,
and how devastating this news was for her.
Yeah. And I mean, I know, I'm sure we'll go into performances later, but this is Florence. Is it Florence Pugh? I don't know how to say her last name, but this is her movie and she's incredible.
Definitely the driving force in any scene that she's in. There are a few other people I feel like who sort of like stand out in their roles, but clearly this movie was meant to really circle around her and her journey.
Yeah.
As much as I kind of wish it hadn't, not because of her as an actress or a character, I'm a little tired of the plight of the white woman in a lot of these horror movies, but
definitely a final girl.
Yeah.
Final girl written all over.
Yeah, basically we knew she already had plot armor, and I know that a lot of there was a lot of criticism with Hereditary and the fact that there were really no people of color represented in it. And it felt like a lot of the characters in Hereditary, like, for example, Christian's friend, Josh, was really just sort of our only token besides two sort of, like, pop-in, pop-out characters played by Connie and Simon.
Yeah, yeah.
There really wasn't, I mean, and we also went to the whitest place on Earth.
The whitest, yes, indeed.
So, I mean, some of those details were frustrating.
Yeah, that's...
But overall, I mean, to be fair, we are going to the middle of nowhere Sweden. I don't know how much diversity we expect. Really none.
Yeah, and they're bad people, so, you know.
Yeah.
They also, and I think maybe, like, they're supposed to be, like, cheerfully innocuous and this, like, oh, you know, especially they all wear white all the time. It's, like, it's creepy to the extreme. So after, you know, after Danny's family goes through this tragedy and she loses her parents and her sister, Christian kind of awkwardly invites her to this festival, thinking she won't want to go, and she agrees. And really the only person who's excited is the guy who invited them.
Really?
Pele, yeah. And, you know, he's almost like excited that she's coming because she's experienced this tragedy, which kind of ties into this overarching theme that I'm sure we'll touch on later, on like family and belonging. But then they get to the community and the first thing they do is drink a bunch of mushroom tea. And all I can think is, girl, this is a terrible idea. Like, you're going to have a bad trip if you drink mushroom tea. But she does. And then she has which is one of my favorite scenes, actually, is when they first get there and they start tripping. And Mark, who's definitely the douchiest of all of the friends, is demanding that everyone lay down.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, played by Will Poulter, shout out to Black Mirror, Bandersnatch.
Oh, yeah.
He was, I mean, it sucks that he plays, like, such a shitty character in Midsommar. I guess someone had to, because I really loved his character in Bandersnatch, because he was so cool, and you really wanted to know more about Simon.
Oh, my gosh. That's wild. It's such a different role.
Yeah.
In that. I did not make that connection until you said that, and now I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, whereas like, and that's what really sort of further underscores like sort of like Danny's sort of isolation from the group, is that like people like Mark and Josh are not welcoming to her. They actively ignore her. They don't include her in conversations. But Pele is, you know, going out of his way to be nice to her, remembers that it's her birthday. So, I mean, if he wasn't in some, like, weird cult plot, I really thought he was gunning hard for her.
Totally. He kisses her at the end.
Yeah.
So they all go to the village, and then things get weird when they make these two village elders jump off a cliff. And it's pretty gruesome. It's a pretty gruesome scene. Although I will say that... Ari Aster, the violence doesn't feel gratuitous to me. They do. The camera holds on it for a while, but it doesn't feel gratuitous the way that some horror films do, or at least it didn't to me.
I mean, I think to that point, I mean, I think a big point in that was, like, as you mentioned, when they first show up and they realize that Danny wakes up after her whole mushroom nap, and it's daytime, and so she's confused about what time it is. And it's because we're now in this place where it's constantly daylight. And so I think it overall gives everything a different sort of tone when you can see everything. Like, there is no sort of, there is a sleight of hand, but almost in a way that, like, this is the honesty of the situation. Like, the fact is that this wasn't, this whole, like, elder, so, you know, suicide was not a secret. This was a whole ceremony held for them. So I think for a lot of us too, we're like used to like a lot of like shadows and jump scares in horror movies. And it was honestly, I feel like pretty refreshing to just be like, here it is all before you. And you can go from there.
Totally. But everyone seems to have like varying reactions to this scene. And it seems like Danny and Christian and their friends are a little less horrified, but then there's this other couple, Simon and Connie, who are the couple that Pele's brother brought, and they're the only ones who are freaking out at this scene, and they disappear pretty soon afterwards separately in a very suspicious way where you're like, oh yeah, they're definitely up to no good. And there's another of my favorite exchanges is between Connie and the guy where he's like, we don't break traffic laws here. And you're like,
people just jumped off a cliff in front of you. The thing that's also crazy to that point, it was definitely a moment where I felt like that Connie and Simon were like the only other two people of color, two out of three. And I was like, yeah, these white people are crazy. You guys need to leave. That was like their immediate reaction to this entire situation. Yeah. Which,
and of course, they're the first to die.
I mean,
well, actually, after the elders, but.
Yeah, involuntary.
Like, the outsiders. They're the first of the outsiders.
On that note, too, I mean, I felt like there was a lot. There were so. The thing that was also sort of like touching back onto that whole like things happening in broad daylight, there was so much weird behavior that there's all the red flags are being rung. And.
Yeah.
It just seemed crazy that, like, I mean, if it wasn't this movie, I'd be like, is something really wrong with them? Because this, what else?
Yes.
What else? What do you mean? Like, if this happened to me and I was there, like, we need to leave. This is clearly unsafe. Like, what are we talking about? I'm not staying here.
That was probably my biggest problem with this movie, is that the most of the characters to me, didn't act. They acted like characters in a cheesy horror film where you're yelling at the screen.
They were just so dumb, like across the board. That was
so dumb. Like in that scene when Connie disappears, you hear like they cut to everybody else, all the other outsiders in the camp, and all hearing her scream. And none of them, like, they barely react.
And yeah, and on that note, Mark even says, oh, Connie, who I saw, like, basically running for her life back there. I'm like, what do you mean? I mean, I know he's an asshole, but at what point do we draw the line with someone, like, as a character? And that is what overall, I think, I loved a lot of the cinematography in this movie, and a lot of the costumes were super beautiful, and the set design was beautiful. Oh,
the costumes are the best.
But I felt like overall, from a writing character development standpoint,
I felt it lacking.
The actress who plays Danny did a lot with nothing. And to be fair, every other character is written so poorly that it's crazy that they function in real life.
I am with you on that. The character development was like, I was writing down what I loved and hated, and under hated, I put Christian, the main relationship and the stereotypes in the characters. And I think that, you know, it's unfortunate to me that Ari Aster decides to hang the whole movie, because he called it like the ultimate breakup movie, and he said he was inspired by his own breakup making this film. And to me, I don't understand why they're still dating and why they're together.
It felt very much like sort of a high schooler's perspective of what like some dramatic ass breakup would be. That couldn't be like a mutual normal, like, actually this isn't working. Why do we have to go in some weird like suicide murder plot in Sweden for this?
Yeah. It just, I wanted to just get a little bit for why they were still together before they start to fall apart.
They hint at some sort of like codependency, I guess, to answer your question. But other than that, I mean, it just doesn't seem like when we get to the end with Danny's ultimate sort of like choice, it was a no-brainer. So I'm just like, was I supposed to feel anything? Yeah. Because I definitely didn't. I felt nothing. Like, I felt more support for the other guy who I didn't even know.
Exactly. And that was, I think, you know, you're setting up this big ending where she chooses Christian, you know, to be sacrificed. And I feel nothing for it because I felt nothing for their relationship. I'm just like, these are two people. One of them is super shitty and shouldn't be in a relationship. The other is an emotional mess, which I thought her character was good, and I understood why she was making the choices she was making and why she felt the way she did. But nobody else, I thought, around her was well written. So, you know, all you have left is this one really amazing performance and a pretty well written, I actually wouldn't even call it a well written character. You just had a really good performance that brought out a okay written character. And, you know, and the rest is just.
That's the thing, too, in this, and just like going into like sort of the rest of the story. I mean, even if we go into, like, I know we talked about, like, how beautiful the set design was and how, like, I just loved, I mean, I worked at IKEA for 3 years, so I, you know, drank a little bit of that Scandinavian Kool-Aid, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And there is, like, definitely a unique, like, super rich culture that goes on there, and to even be involved in, or even get a peek into a fantasy one was super cool. But at the same time, they used a lot of that fantasy and sort of like that folklore to just really storyboard out the whole movie to you in a way that I felt really unsatisfied about.
Yeah, where they were, you know,
here's a pictorial of what's going to happen in 30 minutes. Be surprised.
Yeah. I know. I saw them when they pan across the one of like the woman, I was like, oh, someone's going to get pubes in their food. I just know it's going to happen after seeing
the dummy.
She wants him.
Yeah.
She wants the D. Did you notice too? So like, as the movie continues, then, you know, we get Christian is a shitty guy and steals his friend's thesis idea. And then pees on that tree.
Time out on that thesis idea, because I was like,
"Oh my god,
the what?"
Christian is the worst.
It's just like, what?
I hate him.
Like, they're like, he's not bad enough. What else can we do? I'm just like, what is going on?
They're like, how can we make this white guy even more mediocre? Let's have him steal his friend's thesis idea. He's just a big old nothing.
I mean, he's just, I'm just like, why are you friends with this guy? That's not Aronson either. I mean, I guess they're all horrible. So maybe that's maybe the point. Is they all deserve this?
Well, I guess it's like, well, that's to that point. So is Palais just like befriending people to lure them back and have them murdered?
Like, oh, yeah, he's trash, dude. They said at the end that they needed to sacrifice people. So if it wasn't going to be the outsider, it's going to be your friend, like who you live with.
Well, they had to have.
No.
It's wild.
What do you mean? Yeah, chances were low that it was going to be any outsiders. I mean, the insiders who are going to be those sacrifices. It's very clear that Palais is shepherding people in.
Well, they said in the end that the sacrifice is for outsiders and for villagers, and then the May Queen picks the ninth.
So, I mean, you're saying Connie and Simon had a chance?
No, Connie and Simon were always going down. That's the thing is, like, so Pele's brother lured them there to be sacrificed, and that's two. And then Pele lured his friends there, which is another three. So I guess one is going to either join the cult or go back and not tell everyone that his friends were murdered. I don't know what Pele's plan was.
Regardless, Pele's trash too. Let's just be clear. Yeah. Everyone's trash. I could argue that Danny's trash.
Although, is it weird
too,
that I kind of stand him and Danny? I was like, I want them to be together because he's so proud of her. They can just live in this creepy cult together and jump off a cliff when they're 72.
I mean, at that point, you point out that Pele was sort of like the creepy model recruiter in what was America's Next Top Swedish cult leader. I just lost my train of thought. What was I going to say? With this whole shit, Pele luring them. Oh, okay. So he really preyed upon people who, I guess, were assholes and who maybe no one would miss versus someone who needed a real sense of belonging in their life. And maybe that's why he's so happy that Danny came.
Right? Yeah. Well, he definitely seemed to want Danny to come for a different reason. And when he sensed that she was going through this tragedy, he kind of knew. And I think that it's the horror movie happens at the beginning. And the end, because Ari Aster was saying how, yes, this is a horror movie, but if you look at it from the point of view of Danny, it's supposed to be more like a fairy tale where she, like, you know, grows and finds her a happy ending. And so in a way, it's almost like, you know, the horror movie portion happens in the first 10 minutes of the movie, and then it turns into this, like, weird fantasy, almost, you know, this weird fairy tale. He called it Wizard of Oz for perverts, and I think that's a funny way of describing it because it's true.
If you think about stuff like that, like you look back into old, like, Brothers Grimm's, like, stories, I mean, they definitely were much darker than sort of the Disney sugar-coated versions we have. So I mean, there definitely was that sort of, like, gore and that darkness and that sort of complexity to it. With that,
and the imagery too
was very
yeah, it's like that dark fairy tale vibe, you know, with all the kind of disturbing or sexual drawings that were everywhere, and the character of Maya, who the redhead who seduces Christian, which that scene is wild when she finally seduces him. Also, shouldn't Danny, I mean, I guess Danny's tripping, everybody's tripping balls on mushroom tea. So she sees Christian, like, I'm surprised she didn't think, oh, this guy is probably super, you know, drugged up and has no idea what's going on, because he doesn't ever. He doesn't ever seem to have any idea.
I feel like that was one thing with Danny's reactions. It's just like, I understand you're upset, but were you really that emotionally invested in Christian to the point where you're just like, you feel destroyed? Like, you don't have a family with this guy. He's just some asshole that you don't really like that much. And, like, given the fact of everything you've seen at this point, this is what, like, it draws a line.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, well, that scene was clearly there more, I think, as a way to show the village kind of sharing her pain. And that's the first time she's really experiencing like other people sharing her pain with her.
You know, I just feel like if she had broken with Christian a long time ago and met like someone nicer, she wouldn't be at this extreme. That's the thing also that's so crazy. Like there's a difference between like sort of like the uncaring, unfeeling sort of like fleshy mound that Christian was versus like the very intensely like empathetic culture. There is, I mean, I can't believe that Danny has no other friends or like has no one else to talk to or turn to and shows like her really dependent on this person.
I mean, she does talk on the phone with a friend in the beginning, but yeah, other than that, it doesn't, that too, I was just like, does this girl have nobody else in her life? But I think maybe she doesn't. I don't know. I mean, the movie definitely extends this to her as a relief, as a way of finding her family, even if it's a messed up family, even if it's basically just from one toxic relationship to another.
Yeah, I mean, so yeah, let's talk about that. You can ship her and Pele together all day, but ultimately, like, that's not any healthier.
No, it's not, because she's going to have to jump off a cliff when she's 72.
On that note, also, I mean, in this relationship, who do you think Ari was? Danny or Christian?
That's a good question. I thought about it.
The way, I mean, I feel like the way he wrote the friends, it makes me feel like he was Danny.
I know. I was like, I thought about that because I knew going in that he had written it after a breakup. And so I was expecting it to be more like, I mean, I guess maybe I didn't give him enough credit. I assumed that she would be more portrayed as like the bad guy, or he would have identified less with her. But I feel like maybe Ari feels like he is in more of the Danny role, and maybe switched up the genders or tried to make it seem like it wasn't from his point of view. So maybe if his ex saw it, they would
wait. Oh my god,
I don't know.
Is he Pele? Have we thought about that?
Ooh, no. So is he the one luring people to their death?
Like, like he meets this really strong woman who he feels like is around these really shitty people, like her ex-boyfriend and like all his shitty friends. So then he's like saying, hey, come to this magical world where I'm going to take you, you know, give you a sense of belonging. And it might be difficult along the way and you're going to grow and there's going to be a lot of things you have to let go of. I'm just, you know.
But then, I don't know, Pele isn't part of the breakup.
Yeah, but he's on the outside looking in. I'm just, you know.
I don't know if Ari, I don't know if he is identifying with anybody, because maybe he's just portraying a shitty relationship.
Yeah. And then, I mean, on that note, what do you think about Danny's final decision to choose Christian instead of villager number 7 as, as the final sacrifice?
I mean, it was no surprise. I mean, there's a scene... like this plot is spoiled by all the drawings.
Oh my
like
gosh.
Christian, a few scenes before that is waiting in that room. So until the old lady comes in and she's like, oh, the redhead wants to sleep with you. And then he has that weird non-orgy where there's just a bunch of naked ladies. There's a drawing in the room where there's a bear on fire. I was like, oh, I guess that's not going to come up again.
There's also actually in their apartment at the beginning, there's a painting of a woman, blonde woman, standing in front of a bear and like petting him.
Oh.
So literally, yeah, it was very heavy the entire film. It was not a surprise, but I mean, do you feel like Danny's choice was fair, or do you feel like we don't care, or do you feel like...
I won't say it's fair. I mean, Christian's a big nothing, but he didn't deserve to die. Nobody deserves to die that way. Because feel like that ultimate betrayal wasn't, I mean, he was under the influence of a ton of drugs. Like,
well, also like he was also in a situation where you just buried a stake underground. Like what are the rules here of like weird behavior? And you accepting, like, sort of, like, what is the tradition? Like, she sort of, like immediately went to left field without any sort of context about where they were and what had just happened, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not justifying his behavior or anything. I'm just saying that, like, it just seemed like an extreme reaction given everything else that had happened.
Yeah, it didn't, I don't know, because it just, I mean, it didn't feel like a betrayal because there was no happy relationship to begin with. So I feel like her reaction feels false because we as the audience haven't been set up to like feel like they have anything to lose.
Yeah.
So exactly. It's like, okay, who cares? You know, I think it works if you're looking at it more symbolically, but if you're looking at them as people and as characters, it's just the whole end doesn't really make too much sense to me. It just kind of, it's like a lot of horror films in the sense that it's people aren't really acting like normal people.
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little worried about this. I mean, I really liked Hereditary and I thought that really subverted a lot and was, I mean, just overall just beautifully shot. I mean, as was Midsommar,
mm-hmm.
but it yeah. does make me feel like Ari might be M. Night Shyamalan-ing himself with just sort of, let me just hit you with like a hard crier, an intense family tragedy, classic recipe, you know? And it's just like, yeah. let's not sacrifice story for beautiful gory shock scenes, you know, or character development for just screaming and crying.
Yeah, totally. Like I want all of the beautiful things that he's doing, but I have a hard time with movies that if you fail me on a character level, then it's really hard for me to bounce back from that or recover from that as a flaw. It's kind of the most important thing to me. And if you don't have good characters, everything else has to be the most top-notch for me to forgive it. And I haven't seen too many films where I can forgive bad character development. This one, you know, it could be worse. He's lucky that he got the performance that he did out of Florence Pugh. But other than that, you know, I think that he was like a lot of directors too focused on symbolism and abstract messaging. And also, you know, what I read was that Midsommar came about because producers, investors, whoever approached Ari Aster and they were like, we want you to direct this film about a Swedish cult. And he was like, he didn't really want to do it, but then he was going through this breakup and he's like, okay, I'll just build the movie around a breakup. So he kind of shoehorned in the breakup theme into this other theme. And I kind of would almost have liked him to explore the idea of a breakup maybe in a different movie instead of hanging this movie on that concept, because I really don't think they necessarily needed to be together. I think he did tie it together with the idea of family and belonging. But I didn't feel like the movie needed the breakup in order to work. And yeah.
That's literally what I was just going to say to your point. Like, I feel like if this had just been not about Christian, if he was not in the picture at all and she went on this trip because her yeah. fellow classmates were going on this trip to like study the Swedish culture and her family tragedy just happened and some Impele still had been like, hey, I know you're going through a big thing. Come with the rest of our classmates. That would already would have been a better movie.
And then it could even be the person that she picks at the end is, you know, one of her classmates, or there's another way you could have made that choice harder for her, or have, you know, because I don't feel like it really had a lot of impact. I kind of knew it was coming the minute they said, oh, you have to choose between these two. It was so obvious she was going to choose Christian.
If they had said then choose anyone,
yeah.
she would have pointed to Christian. Coming, so it didn't like out of the entire like group there.
Tragic thing. Now maybe her rejecting her current friends or something, you know, that would have carried more weight. But because you've already started this relationship off being super toxic and negative, and all you want these people to do is break up, then you just spend the whole movie being like, I can't wait for these people to break up. So when that moment comes where she has the opportunity to choose him as a sacrifice, you almost want it to happen because nothing else interesting has happened in their relationship in the entire movie. They just argue.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if you don't give us something to, if you don't,
I just
give
don't
us
care.
Any sugar with that's the medicine, the it's like we just don't want to take it, and we don't care.
One other thing that I did really like, though, is the way the characters kind of got bummed off as they did something disrespectful, which is something that I didn't necessarily notice at first when I was watching it, but something that, you know, upon marinating, you've got Sclani and Simon freaking out at the elder suicide and they disappear. And then Mark, he's on the tree. Remember that guy, like,
oh yeah, just, yeah, no, I mean, it was like, oh my god, Mark, you're again foil character, like, what then, the oh hell, my god, what 30-year-old acts like this,
him vaping, I was just like, oh my god, please stop vaping. And then I keep wanting to call him Chidi because I don't know if you watch The Good Place, but that's Chidi from The Good Place.
Is it him?
For his name now, the one that Christian steals the thesis from. Josh sneaks into the temple to take pictures, and that's when he
gets
killed. And yeah, so you get all these characters getting killed as they're doing things that piss off the village. And then question was, when Christian stumbles across after he has sex with Maya, and then he stumbles through the village naked and finds Simon. Is Simon still alive?
That's what I thought. She was, he's like lungs inflating and deflating.
I looked this up, and in A Blood Eagle, apparently they are still alive. But, and I thought that at first, but then he like looks at his face and there's like flowers in his eyes or whatever. And I was like, maybe he's dead and this is something else. I don't know.
No, he seemed to be alive. I mean, the thing is, like, I feel like a lot of these, like, they did something disrespectful, like, get, but sort of.
No, I agree with you. I'm not saying that any of them.
I don't know. I just feel like Connie and Simon didn't deserve it, I guess is what I'm getting at.
It was the first time, like, an outsider made the villagers uncomfortable or did something, like, out of turn or disturbed the peace in some way, you know? Like, Connie and Simon totally, I would have reacted like that. I would have. They were the only people in the entire film that I felt like acted like normal people. Like, everybody else, I was just like, why is nobody else freaked out about this? I would be totally freaked out. But they were the first ones to, you know, cause a stir and to be offended by that. And the villagers were offended by them being offended. And that's when they disappeared. And then Mark offends them by peeing on the tree. And Josh offends them by taking pictures of the book that they didn't want him to. You know, so it's kind of an interesting pattern. I think they all would have been done for anyway. I think it was just a choice on the part of Ari to, like, have it tied into this sort of consequence.
When and where and how, sort of.
The characters were taking, even if they didn't make much sense. I thought that was an interesting choice.
Yeah, yeah. Overall, like, what do you think, out of 4 stars, what do you think you'd give Midsommar?
Wouldn't rewatch it, honestly, because it's also really
Would you
long.
Rewatch?
Although I heard that also. Ari Aster is coming out with a director's cut, and I'd be curious to see. Apparently, it's, like, going to be over 3 hours. I may watch that, or just, like, because I'm curious what, if any scenes he may have added, especially I would like to see more between Christian and Danny, to buy into their relationship more. But I probably wouldn't watch it again. I'd probably give it maybe 2.5 out of 4 stars. I thought it was good. I thought the production design was top notch. I definitely want to get myself an embroidered white corset now and braid my hair. Oh my god.
I want that entire flower dress.
Yeah, flower mountain. And I want to braid my hair. And I would totally live in that village minus the ritual suicide. Everything else seems pretty rad, except for the killing of people. So I liked all of that, but I felt like the fatal flaw for me was just the characterization and the central relationship. I felt like it wasn't necessary and it could have used a little more finessing. What about you?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, on that note, the really only thing saving it for me was, again, Danny's performance.
Yep.
And
yep.
Just the set and costume design, like, really just, I mean, also the cinematography was beautiful, but really the set and costume design really brought it home. And they really helped tell the story and just, you know, really create
it was,
a beautiful backdrop for mediocre,
which is a shame because so much care and thought was put into the production design. And I think it's a really, I love folk horror. I love The Wicker Man, both versions. You know, I love anything with culty vibes. I love those types of movies, but, you know, that aesthetic and that vibe can only take you so far. You still need to have well-written characters. So, you know, for me, it was a mixed bag. But I did like it. Even though it was kind of in a genre that a lot of directors have played in, I liked the new take on it. I liked the choice to set it in a place where it's almost never dark. You know, to your point, I think you described it as feeling really beautiful initially, but overripe towards the end. And it does definitely hang on you. The more you watch it, you're just sick of how bright it is in a way. And I liked that choice. I thought it was different, but it wasn't quite enough for me.
No, yeah, right on. Well, I'm still looking to the next Ari Aster horror film. I love maybe he'd do
he
a romantic comedy
next. He did say he's not doing
next.
Horror for a while, so.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking forward to the next one, for sure. All right, well, thank you so much, Adora, for jumping on another one with us, and we'll catch you guys later.